Xerxes became enmeshed in a love triangle when he became enraptured by his brother's wife. And so we see that at the beginning and at the end of Xerxes' reign, that he is surrounded by women, not by generals, not by advisors, not by men who help him run his kingdom, but by women who somehow scheme to either get Xerxes on the throne or to somehow benefit from a love affair with him. Xerxes suppressed the revolt in Egypt that began before his father's death. Two other rebellions broke out in Babylonia. Once these challenges had been resolved, Xerxes turned back to Greece. Herodotus relates a council meeting held by Xerxes with his advisors, in which he announces his intentions to attack Greece. Certain elements of Xerxes' speech accord well with Persian customs. Xerxes says, "There has never been a time when we have not been at war, ever since we took over from the Medes. It is the God who steers us in this direction, and so we prosper as we follow his guidance time and time again." Xerxes then complains that his ancestors, Cyrus, Cambyses, and Darius, all achieved great victories, and that he had to keep up with them somehow. So his way of ensuring his legacy would be to annex Greece. The idea of fame and glory was one that was very familiar to the Greeks, although, of course, not exclusive to them. But this motivation that Herodotus records would make a lot of sense to Herodotus's audience. As the council meeting progresses, the sycophantic general Mardonius assured Xerxes that the Greeks wage war in an extremely stupid fashion because they're ignorant and incompetent. Wonderful advice from a general. They will discover that when it comes to military matters, there is no one in the world to match us. One counselor, Xerxes' uncle Artabanus, cautioned that it would not be so easy. Artabanus said, "Even a massive army may be destroyed by a small force if it attracts the god's resentment. This happens because the god does not allow anyone but himself to feel pride." This debate sets out a feeling of foreshadowing for the audience that Herodotus was writing for, and it really illustrates Greek philosophy and Greek explanations for their success against this huge force. I should note that all of the Persian speeches are invented by Herodotus. He was not recording from any official transcription of this supposed meeting between Xerxes and his general. Xerxes' plan was to collect an even greater army to overwhelm the Greeks. Its size would intimidate many Greek states into surrender, and this would ensure their victory. It's not a bad strategy. The second invasion of Greece in 480 BC represented a true concerted effort on behalf of the Persians to gain this territory. Herodotus writes that an army of over 2 million men marched against the Greeks, and this is a greatly inflated figure. Modern estimates range from 40,000 to 100,000 men in the Persian army. Herodotus does describe each contingent that composed the Persian army. He carefully notes the different clothing they wore, and he gave especial attention to the weapons they carried. One of the aspects of Persian weaponry that fascinated the Greeks was their use of wicker shields. The Greeks carried bronze shields, or at the very least, a very heavy leather shield. And so the idea of having a lighter shield that was easier to manipulate, but also offered less protection, was one that really intrigued them. If we look at Herodotus's account of this army, it looks very much like an official Persian source, perhaps one that's missing. And we know that the Persians and earlier cultures are as capable of embroidering their numbers as the Greeks were of exaggerating them to make their victory look even more impressive. So it may not be Herodotus's fault here that the numbers are so unequal.